Welcome back to Meteorology Matters, everyone. Today, we've got something a little different, a global weather news briefing. We're diving into some big weather events from around the world. You know, it's really incredible how weather in one place can impact conditions thousands of miles away.
Absolutely. You know, it's all part of one massive interconnected system.
Exactly. And to explore these connections, we're joined by, well, an expert in meteorology.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Now, before we jump in, a quick reminder to follow meteorologist Rob Jones for even more weather insights. You can catch him on Instagram at meteorologist, TikTok at TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Okay, let's get started. First up, let's talk about something that's been in the news a lot lately, melting Arctic ice.
Right. And, you know, this might seem like a far-off problem, but it really has some major implications for global weather patterns.
So how does melting ice in the Arctic end up affecting, say, rainfall in other parts of the world, or even cause droughts?
Well, think of it like this. You've got the Arctic sea ice, right? It acts like a giant mirror reflecting sunlight back out into space. But when that ice melts, we lose that reflective surface. The ocean starts absorbing more heat, and that throws off the balance in the atmosphere.
I see. So it's like a chain reaction starting with the ice.
Exactly. And that heat absorption disrupts air currents, specifically something called jet streams. Think of them as like rivers of wind high up in the atmosphere guiding weather systems.
Got it. So those jet streams are like the roadways for storms and weather patterns.
Precisely. And when they get thrown off course, everything gets disrupted. That's how we end up with drier winters in California, for example.
Drier winters in California. That's a big deal, especially with the droughts they've been having.
It is a big deal. And it all ties back to that melting ice.
So the same melting ice causing dry conditions in California can lead to wetter conditions elsewhere, like in parts of Europe.
Exactly. When those jet streams shift, they can push storms and moisture into different areas, causing more rainfall in some regions. Places like Spain and Portugal might end up with wetter winters because of this. It's fascinating, really.
It really is. You know what really struck me about the research on this? The way they modeled it. They didn't introduce any artificial heat sources into their models.
Oh, that's a crucial detail. It means they were able to pinpoint the specific effects of the melting ice without any extra factors muddying the water.
Exactly. It gives us a much clearer picture. So we're seeing that melting Arctic ice can have some very real consequences. But let's shift gears for a minute, bring this a little closer to home. How does all this, you know, beyond just the weather we experience, affect our daily lives?
Well, think about it this way. Extreme weather events are on the rise, right? They disrupt our lives in all sorts of ways. One area where we're seeing a huge impact is education.
Really? I hadn't really made that connection before.
Nope.
How does extreme weather impact education?
Well, just in 2024, a staggering 242 million students had their education disrupted by extreme weather. Heat waves, storms, floods, you name it. And unfortunately, low-income countries are bearing the brunt of it.
Wow, 242 million. That's a massive number. I mean, we're talking about an entire generation whose education is being affected by these climate-related events.
Mm.
The long-term effects are hard to even imagine.
And it's not just elementary school either. Middle and high school students are being hit especially hard, and those are such crucial years. Missing school during that time can lead to real setbacks, learning gaps that are tough to overcome.
It's almost like taking a step backward. Just when they're about to make those big leaps forward. Do you have any examples of how this plays out in a real-world situation?
Absolutely. Take Manila, for example. During a really bad heat wave back in 2024, almost half of the schools in the city had to shut down. Just think about the impact that had on the students. They're missing valuable class time. Their routines are disrupted. Their education is put on hold.
Yeah, and it's not just the missed classes, right? Experiencing these extreme weather events can be really traumatic, really stressful for these kids.
You're right. The emotional and psychological impact is significant. And for students in vulnerable communities, these disruptions just exacerbate existing inequalities, making it even harder for them to catch up. All this really points to the need to create climate-resilient schools.
Climate-resilient schools. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it starts with infrastructure. We need schools that can withstand these extreme weather events. things like reinforced buildings, better ventilation to handle those heat waves, even early warning systems for floods. But it's not just about the buildings themselves. We also need to think about adaptable educational policies.
So basically having systems in place that can adjust to these disruptions.
Exactly. Things like flexible schedules, options for online learning, even psychological support for students who've been through these traumatic events. It's about minimizing the disruption and making sure these kids don't fall behind.
Right, minimizing the impact as much as possible. So, we've seen how melting Arctic ice can lead to extreme weather, which then has a domino effect on things like education.
Mm.
Now, I want to pivot a bit to something that might seem unrelated at first, but is actually deeply connected, the role of the United States in global weather forecasting.
Yeah, the U.S. plays a vital role in understanding and predicting weather patterns all over the world.
And I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn just how important the U.S. is in that global effort.
Absolutely. The U.S. provides up to 25% of the world's meteorological satellite data. That data is crucial for accurate weather predictions, not just here in the U.S., but globally.
25%. That's huge. And it's not just about the amount of data either. It's the expertise, the technology that the U.S. brings to the table. Like the National Hurricane Center in Miami, for instance.
Oh, the National Hurricane Center is a perfect example. Their forecasting data during Hurricane Beryl last year was instrumental in minimizing casualties.
Absolutely. Even though Beryl caused a lot of economic damage, the loss of life was thankfully minimal, largely thanks to those accurate forecasts.
And this highlights something really crucial. International cooperation in meteorology is absolutely essential. Weather, climate, water, they don't stop at borders. It's a two-way street. The U.S. benefits from this collaboration just as much as other countries do.
So we're seeing this web of connections, right? Melting ice in the Arctic disrupts weather patterns, leading to extreme events that impact everything from agriculture to education. And in the midst of all this, the U.S. is playing this vital role, providing data, expertise, helping to protect lives and livelihoods all over the world. It really emphasizes the importance of global cooperation, doesn't it?
It really does. It's a worldwide network, scientists, researchers, organizations, all working together to try and understand and predict these incredibly complex weather systems we have on this planet.
It's not just about sharing data, then. It's about combining our knowledge, our expertise, tackling these challenges as a united front.
Exactly. It's about building a global community that's prepared to face the growing challenges of a change in climate.
And that brings us to a really important question. We've talked about the melting ice, the extreme weather, the need for international cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
But where do we go from here? What does all of this mean for our future?
Well, it means that action is absolutely necessary. We can't just sit back and watch these changes happen. We have to do something about it.
But what kind of action are we talking about? What needs to be done?
Well, on a global scale, we've got to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's the root cause of climate change. It's driving that melting ice and those intensifying weather events. That's the big one.
So things like switching to renewable energy sources, cutting back on our reliance on fossil fuels and issues like that.
Exactly. But it's not just about global action. Every single one of us can make a difference in our own communities, supporting policies that promote sustainability, reducing our own carbon footprints, advocating for change. It all adds up.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of it all, but you're right. We all have a part to play. Every little bit counts.
Absolutely. And remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about these interconnected weather systems, the better equipped we are to adapt and find solutions.
That's exactly why we do this podcast. We want to give people the knowledge they need to make informed decisions. You know, something's been on my mind throughout this whole discussion. We've been talking about how extreme weather impacts education. But what if the other way around? What about the impact of education on extreme weather? Is there a potential feedback loop there?
That's such a great point. You're absolutely right. Education is crucial in addressing climate change and preparing for its impacts.
So how can we leverage education to create a more resilient future?
For starters, we have to make sure that climate change is a core part of school curriculums. Students need to understand the science behind it, its effects, the potential solutions. We need to equip the next generation with the tools they need to face this challenge head on.
It makes sense. We need to equip the next generation with the knowledge and skills they need to face this. And it's not just about science, right? It's about critical thinking, problem solving, innovation.
Exactly. We have to encourage students to really think critically about the world around them, question their assumptions, come up with innovative solutions.
Imagine a future where schools are designed to be sustainable, resilient, where kids are learning about climate change and actively involved in finding solutions.
Now that's a powerful vision. And it goes beyond just schools. We need to promote climate literacy throughout society.
So things like raising awareness, encouraging dialogue, inspiring people to take action in their own lives.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of sustainability where everyone feels empowered to make a difference.
You know, there's a recurring theme here. It's all about interconnectedness. Weather systems are interconnected, global cooperation is vital, education and climate action are intertwined. It's all part of this one big, complex, but ultimately hopeful picture.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that's what makes this work so important, so engaging. It's about understanding that big picture, that interconnectedness, and using that knowledge to build a more sustainable, more resilient future. We've covered a lot of ground today, from melting ice to the role of education in tackling climate change. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. We've talked about the need for schools that can withstand extreme weather, right? But what about regions where the infrastructure is already struggling? What can we do to support those communities and make sure education isn't left behind?
Oh, that's an incredibly important question. And it really highlights the importance of global solidarity. Developed countries, the ones that have often contributed the most to climate change, they have a responsibility to support developing nations as they adapt to these impacts.
So providing financial assistance, sharing technology, helping to build capacity, things like that.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that this is a shared challenge, a global one, that demands collective action. And it's not just governments, it's international organizations, NGOs, even individuals. We can all play a role in supporting these efforts.
It's really inspiring to think about the potential of human ingenuity, human collaboration to address these challenges. I really believe that if we can harness that collective power, we can create a more resilient and equitable future for everyone.
I couldn't agree more. There's a sense of urgency, yes, but there's also this tremendous opportunity to create a better world.
That's a great way to put it. Now, for our listeners out there, we want to hear from you. What resonated with you the most today? What actions are you inspired to take? Share your thoughts on social media using the hashtag Meteorology Matters. And don't forget to tag meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram at Meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And until next time, keep exploring the world around you.
It really does. It's a worldwide network, scientists, researchers, organizations all working together to try and understand and predict these incredibly complex weather systems we have on this planet.
It's not just about sharing data then. It's about combining our knowledge, our expertise, tackling these challenges as a united front.
Exactly. It's about building a global community that's prepared to face the growing challenges of a changing climate.
And that brings us to a really important question. We've talked about the melting ice, the extreme weather, the need for international cooperation, but where do we go from here? What does all of this mean for our future?
Well, it means that action is absolutely necessary. We can't just sit back and watch these changes happen. We have to do something about it.
But what kind of action are we talking about? What needs to be done?
Well, on a global scale, we've got to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's the root cause of climate change. You know, it's driving that melting ice and those intensifying weather events. That's the big one.
So things like switching to renewable energy sources, cutting back on our reliance on fossil fuels, initiatives like that.
Exactly. But it's not just about global action. Every single one of us can make a difference in our own communities, supporting policies that promote sustainability, reducing our own carbon footprints, advocating for change. It all adds up.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the scale of it all, but you're right. We all have a part to play. Every little bit counts.
Absolutely. And remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about these interconnected weather systems, the better equipped we are to adapt and find solutions.
That's exactly why we do this podcast. We want to give people the knowledge they need to make informed decisions. You know, something's been on my mind throughout this whole discussion. We've been talking about how extreme weather impacts education. But what about the other way around? What about the impact of education on extreme weather? Is there a potential feedback loop there?
That's such a great point. You're absolutely right. Education is crucial in addressing climate change and preparing for its impacts.
So how can we leverage education to create a more resilient future?
For starters, we have to make sure that climate change is a core part of school curriculums. Students need to understand the science behind it. It affects the potential solutions. We need to equip the next generation with the tools they need to face this challenge head on.
It makes sense. We need to equip the next generation with the knowledge and skills they need to face this. And it's not just about science, right? It's about critical thinking, problem-solving innovation.
Exactly. We have to encourage students to really think critically about the world around them, question their assumptions, come up with innovative solutions.
Imagine a future where schools are designed to be sustainable, resilient, where kids are learning about climate change and actively involved in finding solutions.
Yeah, that's a powerful vision. And it goes beyond just schools. We need to promote climate literacy throughout society.
So things like raising awareness, encouraging dialogue, inspiring people to take action in their own lives.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of sustainability where everyone feels empowered to make a difference.
You know, there's a recurring theme here. It's all about interconnectedness. Weather systems are interconnected, global cooperation is vital, education and climate action are intertwined. It's all part of this one big, complex, but ultimately hopeful picture.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that's what makes this work so important, so engaging. It's about understanding that big picture, that interconnectedness, and using that knowledge to build a more sustainable, more resilient future. We've covered a lot of ground today, from melting ice to the role of education in tackling climate change. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. We've talked about the need for schools that can withstand extreme weather, right? But what about regions where the infrastructure is already struggling? What can we do to support those communities and make sure education isn't left behind?
Well, that's an incredibly important question, and it really highlights the importance of global solidarity. Developed countries, the ones that have often contributed the most to climate change, they have a responsibility to support developing nations as they adapt to these impacts.
So providing financial assistance, sharing technology, helping to build capacity, things like that.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that this is a shared challenge, a global one that demands collective action. And it's not just governments, it's international organizations, NGOs, even individuals. We can all play a role in supporting these efforts.
It's really inspiring to think about the potential of human ingenuity, human collaboration to address these challenges. I really believe that if we can harness that collective power, we can create a more resilient and equitable future for everyone.
I couldn't agree more. There's a sense of urgency, yes, but there's also this tremendous opportunity to create a better world.
That's a great way to put it. Now, for our listeners out there, we want to hear from you. What resonated with you the most today? What actions are you inspired to take? Share your thoughts on social media using the hashtag #MeteorologyMatters, and don't forget to tag meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and until next time, keep exploring the world around you.